to help you get the guidance.
It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. It's Mark Husson. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. It is 9:01 Mountain Time, 8:01 on the Pacific Coast, 11:01 on the East Coast. I hope you're loving Daylight Savings Time. Welcome. It was a new moon yesterday, and I am feeling it, and I hope you are. We're going to have a lot to talk about today. If it's your first time to the show, come on over to 12radio.com, click the chat link on the left-hand side, and when you do, you'll be brought over to the beautiful chat room. You don't have to talk, just come and be. We'd love to have you. I am getting in there now. Jay has put up the poster. Thank you, Jay. Jay was just on with Carolyn, and they did a great show. It was fun to hear you guys. Thank you. It's funny, I came in on the drug talk, and given that we had a Pisces new moon, I think it's very apropos. When you come to the room, you'll see the beautiful people in there, like Lynn. Hi, Lynn. How you doing? Happy post-new moon, she says. Let's celebrate. Yes, indeed. Denise Francis, thank you for being here. Love the flowers. Hi, Renee. Welcome. And you guys, you know, it is, I'll be checking in on the chat room periodically, see how you guys are doing. It is definitely, I feel that time change. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the room. I feel that time change. Just deeply. And I think it's interesting because as Neptune is in Pisces, and we're going to talk about time and Neptune, etc., it is about time and timelessness and sort of how it affects us and sort of that when you think, you know how many times we've said, I can't believe it's March, I can't believe it's spring, I can't believe it's winter, I can't believe Christmas is here again. All those things that we talk about regarding time are very Piscean because it's sort of hard to get your finger on what it is. We know it's there. We know it's real. We know there's a lot of magic, but we also sort of like, it's just hard to get your finger on like this sort of changing and shifting of the energies and how quickly, like next thing you know, you're celebrating a big significant birthday and it's like, where did the time go? What happened? That's Neptunian. And so if you're ever, when you're studying astrology and when you're talking about astrology, come on in the room, you guys, it's good to see you. I'll come say hi in just a little bit. When you're thinking about like understanding Pisces and understanding Neptune, it's nebulous, but it's still tangible. And even though those things seem contradictory, that's the nature of Pisces. The last dualistic sign, the last sign that actually, and when I say dualistic, I'm going to explain everything I say to you today. Because I know we get a lot of new listeners and I know that people are like, what's he talking about? So the sign of Pisces, which is the time period we're in now. So if you're a Pisces, you're celebrating a birthday. If you know a Pisces, they're celebrating at some point or they already have. Happy birthday to all you Pisces. But to understand it is to sort of take note of the things like that are nebulous, but like weird and yet tangible. Like we talk about them like they're like, yeah, time just flies. You're like, what the hell does that mean? Shouldn't it be consistent? Doesn't it just tick-tock, like everything else? So when we talk about a mutable sign, we talk about a sign that is right before the seasons change. So the seasons change in spring, right? March 22nd, 20th, whatever it'll be this year. It changes a little bit, 19th maybe even. And on that day, we enter Aries. We enter a new sign to the moment. So if you hear that spring this year, and I haven't looked it up, so forgive me, we'll be talking about it. But if you hear that spring this year is March 19th or something like that, that's and it's at 2 a.m., that's the moment we celebrate Aries. Because Western astrology is tropical. It goes by the seasons. Because in the olden days, another Neptunian concept, it did change exactly Aries that we sort of aligned with the constellation of Aries during spring, and children born under that had certain characteristics and et cetera, et cetera. So Pisces is mutable, meaning that it helps us in that transition from winter to spring. And another example would be Virgo, which helps us in the transition of summer into fall, or Gemini from spring into summer, right? Or Sagittarius from autumn into winter, Pisces winter into spring. So there's one sign for every season that helps in the transition, and those are called the mutables, because they have to be flexible. You're going to have some warm days like we have in Colorado today. And it's going to snow. We're going to get a good big dump probably Wednesday. So that's mutability, right? And so when you think about the mutable signs and you think about Pisces, you expect them to have characteristics that are different than just a specific trait. They're multifaceted. Now, who isn't multifaceted, right? This is an example. This is to help you understand the energy of the sign. But that multifacetedity is an important characteristic, because Pisces is a water sign. And you already think of water. If you think of the element of water, you think of fluidity. You think of, you know, a gushing ocean, or, you know, power sometimes. Sometimes you think of it as sort of adaptability, where it takes the shape of whatever container it's in. Pisces being mutable is one of the most absorptive of the signs. It's the sponge. We call it the sponge of the zodiac, because Pisces will seriously take the shape of that container because there's very little resistance. Whereas a Cancer cardinal sign, more aggressive, might be manipulative about how, before it starts assuming any shapes, except round. So as we're being showered with this Piscean energy, as this new moon sort of hit us yesterday, a couple of things to notice, and just to try to be aware of. It's like, you know how time flies, you know, that kind of concept I've been hammering. I'm particularly obsessed with anytime we move that clock and take away my hour of sleep so that somebody can pretend it's more daylight. I just why don't you all just get up earlier and leave the rest of us alone? I don't know. I'll never be a fan, and I know a lot of people are, so I'll just stop. But here's the thing. When we're being showered with that energy, when Pisces sort of rains down on us, as is the case with a new moon. Now, what is a new moon? For those of you that don't understand, it's when the sun and the moon connect in the same sign at the same point in space by calculation. So they were both... both the sun and the moon were, I think it was about 14 degrees of Pisces. And so we have the solar energy and the lunar energy together showering us. Now, they're not alone. Mercury is in Pisces. I'm pulling up the chart now. Mercury is in Pisces. Neptune is in Pisces. The sun is in Pisces. Saturn is in Pisces. Venus goes into Pisces soon, so that'll be next week. Venus will join the crew, and then so we have this sort of reality. And now I want you to understand, we're right before spring. So what the plants are doing right now is sort of anchoring their deepest root. Okay, they're getting ready for the big push into the sun. And we are no different. Which means that over the weekend, and maybe this week in general, some of you, and we're going to talk about this energy, some of you could have felt somewhat confused, somewhat a little depressed, somewhat conflicted with ambition versus my purpose. Am I off track? Some of you got news from people from your past. Pisces is very much about people from the past. It's about our ties. It's about our memories. It's about our dreams. Now, it's hard to be lucid in a dream if you've practiced lucid, meaning that you want to be that you're having a dream, but you're aware you're having a dream. That's kind of living during the Pisces times for us when we're awake. It's having the dream and knowing you're in the dream and treating it appropriately. And what's that mean? Well, every dream we have presents us with a myriad of symbols. When I was in school, my internship was at the mental health center, and we had just learned Gestalt therapy. And one of the big things about Gestalt therapy was the ability to understand that every single thing is a projection of an extension of us, like everything. So how I see a circle and its effect on me is going to be mine. And you're going to see a different image. You're going to see a circle, but it's going to have a different feeling over you. Same with people. I meet somebody, I have a sense of them through all my history, through all my lens, through all my projections, and I see a certain person and you see the same person in a different way. So completely different person really for you. In a dream, when you have a symbol approach you, when something is in the dream, no matter what it is, if it's an arm, if it's a computer, if it's a, you know, a tabletop, if it's a pencil, each one of those comes from you, and each one of those could potentially contain some information for you. And the way Gestalt therapy worked was you sort of like embrace it, like be the pencil. And I remember in a particular therapy session, I had a young woman came. I was younger, but I mean, now I look, everyone's younger. This woman came in and she was really struggling with whether to leave, get a divorce, what to do. And, you know, of course, as a therapist, you don't say, oh, get a divorce. So she told me about a dream she had where she was writing. She was reaching for a pencil. The pencil was a significant player in the dream. And I asked her to be the pencil, just to talk as if she was a pencil. And she said, I am only creative in the hands of somebody else. It was a big breakthrough for her. That was her assessment. And in that moment, she decided that she only felt whole being married and only felt useful being married. And that, you know, and I don't know, she decided to go communicate that with her husband and work it out. But it was a big breakthrough to understand that her subconscious mind was talking to her through symbols. And that, imagine having access to that all the time. And guess what? You do. Every single thing in front of us, especially during these Pisces times, every single thing in front of us is a projection and maybe information we can use. So if you start asking the question, why is that in front of me? Why is that in front of me? Not why did that happen? Not like, you know, if somebody, you're in my scenario at the store, at the grocery store, and somebody's being, the cashier is being mean. Instead of going, why is she so mean? If I treat it like I had that dream where the cashier was being mean to me, and then I have to assume I'm the cashier being mean, maybe there's a part of me that's angry and I don't know it. Maybe there's a part of me walking through the world angry and I don't know it. And if I use that technique, I get an opportunity to see a little bit more about not why things are happening to me, like I'm this victim of all this stuff happening, but a chance to see where my shadow might be trying to project itself and express itself. And so everything becomes a piece of me, an extension of me. The way I feel, the way I look at something, the way I'm experiencing the world in that moment. If there was a way for me to assume this was a dream I was having and I was telling somebody else about the dream, and then I got to be little pieces and components in that dream from that perspective, suddenly my reality has a different purpose. It has a different sense of duty. It has a different, you know, it serves me in so many ways different than I'm at the bottom of the waterfall and the water's just gushing on top of me, and the water being metaphor for life. And Pisces gives us this chance to sort of like why did I create this? What part of me is this? How does it act? How does it feel? What is it communicating? And I'm serious. Tell somebody, write it down, do something. The breakthroughs are enormous. And that's kind of a gift we get being in the Pisces time period. Now, Neptune is in Pisces, Saturn is in Pisces. Those are big. And I honestly think it has something to do with the projection we have in this political climate. Two very unpopular candidates. One is Saturn, one is Neptune. You might be surprised to think that Biden is Saturn, but Biden represents establishment. Biden represents what has been. And Neptune is Trump, representing the wizardry of, you know, what the past could have been, or a dream to go back to the past, you know, make it great again, like, you know, great from what kind of thing. Okay, so it's a mixture of like where the truth might be questionable in that sense. And there, we're looking at this, all of us in this experience, and going, wow, here we are again. Now, guess what? Using the Gestalt analogy, you have an inner Trump, you have an inner Biden. And the way you project that out is really helpful in an ability for you to see where it is that part of you has been stuck and living. Because for all the fear that it conjures, and it does conjure fear, you can see it, you know it yourself, if those of you live in that world, political world, or, you know, watch TV, or, you know, we each get our own sort of source of information coming in so we can hate the other side or be afraid of the other side, because that's kind of what happens. Who are you going to be most afraid of? Well, what if you used that time? What if you used it to understand what you are most afraid of within yourself? What if you get to pull a remembrance that in this lucid dream that we're having as in this waking world, a part of you that understands you, all you want is to be happy. All you want is to live a life where you can feel some sense of joy. It's all anybody really wants. It doesn't happen a lot in the world, but it's all anybody really wants. I mean, I know people say, no, they want power and da da da, but they think that leads to happiness. So that's my goal. That's what the idea is. So if you look at why is I'm having this dream of these two people running against each other, neither of whom I'm really crazy about, but and the world hates, what is this dream about? And become each one, you might lead to an understanding of yourself that will blow you away. And guess what else it does? It sort of lifts this fear that you're not the victim of whatever happens. You're actually in charge of it. That's why whoever gets elected, there is going to be half the world very happy and half the world very miserable. It's like, it's like when you meet somebody and you love them and your friend meets them and they hate them. It's all projection. Our ability to see that it comes from us will take some of that fear away. That's all I'm saying. Doesn't make me like the choices any better or love them any less. But it does help me see that they do not get to define the quality of my life, which is what I want, a quality life. Don't you? I know you do. I know you do. And it's hard when you're faced with illness. It's hard when you're faced with financial hardship. It's hard when you're faced with somebody who has a dominant energy over yours that you feel like you can't have what you want because they might get upset. All those things exist in us. And all those things can be mitigated. And it starts with, first of all, being able to touch inside enough strength in yourself to say, I just want to be happy. I just want to live a fulfilling life. I want to know a certain kind of joy. I want that. Not I can't have that. That's reductionist and also very not true. So let me check on you guys and see how you're doing. it takes a second to click all the more comments thing, but I'd like to welcome, let's see, Truly's in the house. Hi, Truly. Ali Shea is here. What, it's Monday? Yes, it is. You know, I've decided that Thursday is my favorite day, and here's why. It's exciting because it tomorrow's Friday kind of thing, and this is a Monday show, so if anybody tunes in late, they're like, is this a pre-record? No, it's March 11th. I decided to empower Thursdays because Fridays go so fast, and there's so many things I enjoy about Friday that I'm extending it to Thursday. So Thursday's the day that I get to really feel. And you know what happens when you do that? You kind of get lost in what day it is on the weekend because it feels like you had a super long weekend. So I encourage you to pick a day that you is your favorite day that leads into other favorite days. And it's the day before your really favorite day and try it. Hey, good morning, Patricia. Thank you for being here. Joni is in the house. She's this Pisces, Cancer rising, Aquarius moon is feeling it all. Yes, you are. That's great. Welcome, Penny. Hi. Happy Monday to you. Nadine, good to see you. Alicia, the March 4th fish drowning in squares and triangles. This March 4th fish. Sorry. I had my readers on and the screen was blurry. This March 4th fish. Happy birthday, Alicia. Squares and triangles. Yeah, I get you. Not circles. Jennifer, I'm not a fan either. And why during the Pisces new moon? Good morning, Mark, everybody. Yes, she's not a fan of the time change. It's weird. It really is. I just don't understand it. And I don't care. Pick one. Just pick one. But it's silly that you think this is giving you more light. Just set your damn clock earlier and you get up. Not me. You lose that hour sleep. That's what means something to you. Hi, Audra. Welcome. So you guys, last night was the Oscars. I got to watch them. I love them. I always get teary. There's somebody that, yeah, she said, Denise Francis. Thank you, Denise. That's so sweet. And Nadine says, Pisces is a roller coaster of emotion. So watching them, what teared me up, the Ukrainian guy who got the bridges of, oh gosh, he won the award for the bridges of, and it's an M word. Sorry. I know you guys, when I do that and everybody knows it and they're like, ooh, run to the computer, try to tell him. It doesn't matter. You all can look it up. But what was most important was you could feel his heart and you could feel his pain and you could feel, his love of his country. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. There were a lot of really beautiful moments in the thing. I don't know. I can't. Like, this is a club for people who are in the club because I don't know how they rate what a good actor is, I just know when I see good acting, you kind of can forget the character instantly. You forget that it's, you know, that person playing them. So I looked up Oppenheimer. I had a feeling it was going to kind of sweep. It did a great job of sweeping. I haven't seen it yet. I want to. But I went to look at the date when they asked Oppenheimer to be a part of the Manhattan Project, which was, I guess, a big turning point. And it was in 1942. And when you run that chart against the chart of the movie award, it is like they are almost identically opposite. Like Pluto was exactly opposite the Pluto in 1942. Neptune was exactly opposite the Neptune of 1942. Crazy, crazy how you can see. That happened to the Titanic movie as well. When there was a shift in Neptune, all of a sudden Neptune returned. I think it was Neptune. It might've been Uranus, but I think it was Neptune returned to the place it was when the actual Titanic happened. The movie won all kinds of awards. So it's fun to see cycles of time. And again, very magically Piscean, right? And, let me just approve this. Come on in. We have a couple of new advisors that I just wanted to say hey to. Maureen and James, our advisors at 1-2-listen.com. It's so nice to attract wonderful, wonderful people, and especially under a Pisces, moon energy because of that dreamlike quality. Now, some of you who are watery oriented, this is familiar to you. I have a lot of water. I have seven planets in water. And so it's familiar to me. I don't mind it. I flow with it very easy, but I know I watch some of the my airy friends struggling with this sort of like pushing against this sort of tide that happens, the mood that happens. And they do that by leaping up. Now, this brings me to the concept of how we deal with feelings, because we sort of confuse the words emotion and feeling, right? So emotion is a verb. It's like an action verb. It's how you push against. When you have a reaction to a feeling, there's an emotional response. There can be an emotional response. Now, the reaction to the feeling, that part, is based on your sign. So in other words, if you're an air sign, Aquarius, Gemini, Libra, your typical reaction to a feeling, that an intense feeling, is usually to talk, to go connect, to distract, maybe read. If you're a water sign, your typical reaction to a feeling is to emote, to cry, to, you know, see, crying isn't, you're not feeling in that moment, you're reacting to a feeling. I want you to see the subtle difference, right? You get that? A feeling is more universal. John will often give the example, if somebody is hit by a car, there's a little bratty kid throwing eggs at your house, but he gets hurt. Let's use that example. Suddenly, all your feelings about him, all your emotional reactions to him, like, that kid, I'm going to kill him, that's emoting, turn to, oh my God, there's a universal sense of like, we have to help, right? That kind of thing. That's how I'm subtly making the difference between feeling and emotion. Fire signs might leap up, have an intense feeling. It might leap up and go shopping, right? Earth signs might do their version of anchoring in to some security. They might sort of pull back. They might hunker down into their, they might go to the spa, like whatever it is to get their body back and feel this energy in their body kind of moving through them. So when we're in a watery time period, it's fun to see your it's fun to see the various reactions. And so from a water kid's perspective, meaning me, and those of you of Cancer, Pisces, or Scorpio natives with a lot of that in you, like your predominance, or even if it's just your sun or moon, you might feel this is sort of like just flowing down the river. You know, this is what we do, right? You know, somebody like, you're in a good mood, and it's be like, what? I can't even get in my head long enough to see what mood it is. I don't care. I'm just in this thing. And I'm not saying I'm necessarily flowing with the flow. I'm just sort of in whatever moment it is. So today, this moment, I could be at peace. Next moment, I could be angry. Next moment, I could be, you know, worried, you know, fretting, but it's a flow. So you just go. So under this sort of movie time, this sort of veil of dream that's over us right now, it's so important that you play a little with the world around you, the symbolism around you. And I challenge you to consider this as like how omens come to us. Because this is why Pisces gets to be associated with the psychic sign. Play with the idea. Okay, so here's some examples. During this time period, expect people from your past to show up. Surprising past. One's like, whoa, I never thought I'd hear. And I had that happen. A kid, and if you're listening, Keith, hi, welcome. I knew him preschool. I mean, basically my whole life, little Cancer. I remember him. But we weren't necessarily close. We didn't hang out. We had mutual friends, but Keith and I always knew of each other, but sort of, you know, it wasn't like your best pal, right? And I hear from him, okay, 40, 50 years later. And it was like, it's adorable. It was adorable. Now, I also get these little psychic hits. Like, I think of somebody from my past that just comes out of the blue. And I assume as a proficient water sign, somebody that has plenty of water, I know now, if I want to hear from that person, then I get excited and I'm glad I thought of them. If I don't, I drop the cancel sign on it. And it is freaking effective. So pay attention to, like, oh, I just thought of this person the other day. And you might go, I wonder if I'm going to hear from them. See, if I think of somebody and then I go, I wonder if they're going to call, I sort of ruin it, because then I sort of, it's not going to happen because I've just brought my brain into it and it now becomes this thing. So if you, you know, just pay attention. If somebody comes to mind and it sort of like just seems out of the blue, pay attention. And then if you want to hear from that person, man, get excited, enjoy, just, and then let it go. Don't obsess about it. Cause what happens when we obsess, it's like meditating and you're supposed to lose your mind, but then you hit that state of meditation. And I am not speaking from direct experience, I promise you, but you hit that place where your mind isn't working and your mind goes, I did it. And then you blow the meditation. So that's like this. When you have a psychic premonition, when you have this sort of hunch, somebody comes to mind, that kind of thing, or the, you know, you knew the phone was going to ring, or you knew whatever. Don't dwell on it. Drop the cancel sign, add a blessing or whatever, but move on, because we'll kind of ruin it. Now I'm going to check on you guys real quick. So thank you for your patience when I do this part. James is in the house. Hi, James. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Great to have you here. That's James, our newest advisor, you guys, I hope. You know what? Tomorrow is the 12th, and that's when the computer system goes crazy with randomizing the prices from 99 cents on. And please go visit 12listen.com and check in. Like, this would be a great chance to talk to a very some very gifted people. And I would love for you to meet James, very gifted man. I got a great chance to spend time with him, and just a great heart. It's like the heart and soul of everything 12 to me. These people that work here at 12 Listen aren't just random folks. We feel them. We know them. You know, I meet with them. It's really just, I'm so proud of them. So anyway, Patricia said, I'm Earth. I had a very bad man attitude last week. I love that. Good. I mean, see, and if you use that, Patricia, use that to see, like, what, you know, like, I am this attitude. This is like, why did I have the dream of that attitude? If I had the dream of me being like that, what's going on? What's trying to emerge? We get some great insights from it. Pisces is so, it's the only myth, you know, it's the fish, right? Fish, it has all kinds of symbolism to it. Christianity, the sun lover, mother thing. I mean, Pisces, if you delve a little into the mythology behind Pisces, it will spin your head. But underneath it, in that is the magic, is that sort of fluid magic that comes from it. Like you see Christianity in two ways, the miracles, the love, the message of love, and then people killing and being hateful in the name of it. It's duality at its best, right? So using this time period to understand the fluid nature of you a little bit, and also to understand your vulnerabilities, feel bigger when it's Pisces. It's easier for you to turn against yourself. It's easier for you to play the Pisces victim, because Pisces can be the victim or the savior. Pisces can be the martyr or the hero. And if you've ever known a Pisces, like I've known several Pisces, I could never identify any one characteristic of them that was consistent. I'm not kidding. Sometimes they look, I remember this one particular woman that took my class. One day I saw her, and she was like a bag lady. I mean, just, she literally had a basket she was pulling. Her hair was frizzy and up and put up. And I was like, wow. And then she came to class and she was stunning. I mean, it was like, what the hell? I mean, I literally didn't know her. And I was like, and I didn't want to embarrass myself or embarrass her, but it was like, wow. I wanted so much to know who that person was, like what's going on inside in the different people that emerge from that different look. So you have an opportunity under this Pisces time. Now, it's really, this Neptune-Pisces thing is going to go for a couple of years. Neptune in Pisces, Saturn in Pisces, those two are the ones to watch, because as those two get closer together, wow, I'm telling you. And I do think this election is about that part of our consciousnesses meeting each other, Saturn and Neptune, the old and the delusional, or whatever you want, however you phrase it for yourselves. But it is a fascinating adventure to watch as the old and delusional parts of ourselves get challenged and it gets projected out there, because they're just doing them. We're putting all the other stuff on them. And depending on how you're putting that stuff on there, you have an opportunity to learn volumes about how you see the world and what brings you safety in the world. Isn't that also what it's about? That you get to feel connected in such a way that you feel safe and that you deserve not only to be here, but you deserve a life of some kind of peace. Because so many of you aren't in a peaceful time right now. So many of you are struggling. So many of you are letting some of this stuff get bigger than you. And it's tough. Life is never going to be good. It'll have moments, but you can always expect stuff here to decay, to get weird. And all we have in that is our timelessness, bringing it back to time. We have our chance to remember that we are timeless. And all this other stuff is going to move forward, fade away, be weird, be crazy. But we have this sort of immovable part in us that is constantly knocking on our door to pay attention. And using metaphors and omens helps translate to that subconscious mind, to that inner part, to that part that we sometimes don't see. The metaphors are, imagine that it's our deaf, dumb, and blind friend that can't speak, talk, or see, but gives us symbols and is hoping beyond hope. And that's an exaggeration, because I doubt it does much hope. I think it just constantly gives us until we see. But hoping that we'll see one of the symbols and translate it correctly. And in the translation, and I can tell you that all the translations will make you feel better, will make you feel elevated. And they're not, and I'm not talking affirmations, God forbid. Not a fan. But I am a fan of when you hit that moment of truth and you go, oh my God, I understand. That's what we're looking for here. And that's what I think the part of us, the unconscious part, the subconscious mind, the connection, the one connection that I think we have spiritually that's guaranteed kind of thing, will never stop throwing symbols at us. It's just, are you willing to do some of the work to interpret the symbol, to feel it, to see it, to stop for just a minute and quit being right about everything you do? Stop being right. Stop being defensive. Stop being like you know everything, and bring it home to an understanding of you. Humble it down just a little bit. Because if you're right about it, if you're so scared of being wrong, that says volumes about how you treat yourself, how you treat that part of you that's not allowed to be wrong. I'm checking in on you guys. I'm hearing a lot of activity. So let me check and see how you're doing. Hold on one sec. I'm coming. It's reloading, and oh yeah, it feels so Pisces to me. I'm telling you, it's crazy. Okay, we're going here to comments. Thank you. And then I have to change that thing to all comments so I can see you. Here we go. All right, I'm in. And Denise, at my age, when I think of someone from the past, they're usually dead. Thank you, Denise. That's adorable. I so get it. Carrie, thank you. I have Saturn in Pisces in the third and in my second Saturn return. Oh, Carrie, that's awesome. Do you know the beauty of a second Saturn return? You've already done it already. And this time, You get to say no occasionally, a lot more. No, I'm not into it. Yes, I love that. No, I'm not. Eva, thank you. Love your wisdom. I have six planets in Scorpio, North Node in Pisces, and truly feel great at this watery time. Yes, Eva, I love that. I love that. And I am so, yeah, you know, you could be watery and saying you're having a terrible time and that would sadden me, but your news makes me feel good. I'm so glad. Charlene is a Pisces. I always am me inside, but I get to be whatever character I want to be whenever I want to be. Gosh, Charlene, that's like a Pisces with consciousness, which many of you have. You know, you're the last sign of the zodiac. And I love that. Like, it's like you're kind of explaining it to me. I love it. Karen, I like talking in metaphors rather than feelings. Karen, I love the Virgo in you. And yes, I like talking in metaphors too. I think it helps. I think if we continue to use and ask the question, why did that happen? What's the omen here? You know, you pull a tarot card. I grew up pulling tarot cards, right? Once grew up starting, you know, when I got the store, I was 27, never knew what a tarot card was really. Went to a reading when I was in college at some shop. I had an English friend in college. Undergraduate, she was 40, I was 20, and she wanted to go to get a tarot reading, and she did, so she took me in. Well, I get the sister that's downstairs washing her hands, younger, and I felt they're just sloughing me off, and she got the guru upstairs, the grandma, I think. So this woman with her hair, nails being painted, not touching me, she said, show me your palm, and she went, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, thank you. But Anne got an amazing reading. I mean, she was blown away. So that's my first experience with tarot, but I never was afraid of this stuff. Later when I met John and he was really into the Crowley Tarot because it was astrologically based, brilliantly based on so many things. The man was a genius, no matter what you think of him. He wanted to be scary. So if you're scared of him, his PR paid off. But John would not think without pulling a card. I mean, boop, 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 metaphor, 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 metaphor. What a great way to live your life. You pull an oracle, you pull a card, and the tarot was just subconscious, like a tablet, you know, almost like a blank slate. But when you pull it, there's writing on it that the subconscious mind can use. And you could tell that the subconscious mind would be so excited that you were trying to figure it out. Because you didn't always know what the card meant, but you knew it was something to work on. So John would have a card every day turned over, and he'd be with that card all day long. And that's where I learned, like, and he'd make it make sense. That's commitment to the subconscious mind. That's a commitment. It didn't have to be tarot. He could have, you know, I used to play with just turning off the car radio and turning it back on and, you know, changing the radio station, like flip the dial real quick. And whatever you first heard was your message of the week. But that kind of play, you guys, that kind of play reminds you and reminds your subconscious mind that you're trying to listen. You're trying to tune in. You're trying to see what the messages are, as opposed to, I already know what the messages are. Don't you ever want to smack people? It just cracks me up, the arrogance that's out here. I mean, I have it in droves. So I'm like, I get it. But I go back in my mind of the things that piss me off the most about people that I know. And it's sort of like, I already know that. Or, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. Or whatever. I mean, it's just sort of like, I want some fluidity, I don't know. That's my control. But whatever. So use that during this time. I can't emphasize it enough. If I could give you any advice about the peace of mind during a Pisces new moon with four planets in Pisces along with it, I would say use the omens that are around you. Look for them, play with them, be with them, try to understand them because, oh my God, they will help. Okay, Audra says Sun and Saturn along with Mercury, Chiron, Venus in Pisces. So she has the Sun, Saturn, Mercury, Venus, and Chiron in Pisces in the 12th. Cancer Moon in the 4th. Oh my God. Okay, you beat me times 10 on the water, everything. That's amazing. You have two grand trines. That's amazing. So this is a water person, and she's got a ton of planets in their signs that they belong in. Like Pisces in the 12th is like having a triple dose of Pisces. So Audra, I know your intuition is off the charts. I know your ability to use these metaphors is amazing, and you particularly use them. And the thing that I would recommend is this is where you get to activate your air as little as you have to understand, to bring understanding to the subconscious mind. Really do it. That's so powerful. Okay, that was fun to talk to you guys about that, because there's nothing more that you could emphasize more under a Pisces cycle than the magic of Pisces and using it to understand the world around you. We can't see what we project. Why do you think we're projecting it? Think about that. You don't project what you love. You project what you don't love. Even if it's a great quality people are envious of and you don't think you deserve it or have it, whatever goes on in the shadow of our mind. So we project this stuff, and projection isn't a matter of, oh, you're projecting. That's BS, because it's, you do it to survive. And if you thought you knew what you were projecting, it's not projection anymore. It's just observation and judgment. Projection is seriously unconscious. You bring it to light. Okay, let me give you a great example. You fall in love. You think the person's stoic. You know, the thing that you think they're stoic and wise, because a part of you that is stoic and wise wasn't allowed to be stoic and wise. You had to be a survivor. You had to be the person who took care of everybody. So you weren't allowed to be held back and unreactive emotionally. You didn't have to have your radar on. So you took that part of you, because you did have seriously good radar and you were also very stoic. You just couldn't be. So you throw it on to somebody and you meet somebody who looks stoic and looks like they are thoughtful and wise. You marry them. The hook is strong. Because they look like they're stoic. They look like they're wise. They talk like they know everything. And about 10 years into the marriage, you're starting to see that you're wise. Like little pieces of you come back where you're forced to be stoic and wise. And little fragments of the projection that you had on them are starting to crack. And suddenly, what you thought was stoic and wise is stubborn and stupid. And all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, that was my hook. Okay, I'm free. I got my projection back. I'm wise. I'm so wise, I'm going to leave your ass. And that's kind of how projection works. There's a hook. And the more the person looks like the hook, the harder it is to break. Okay? So if somebody's looking like they are stoic and wise, that can look stubborn. And can you see how that looks stoic, like stubborn? Like, and I know that's an archetype, but we've all done that. Like, that person's so wise, but really they're just scared and controlling and really narcissistic. And you're like, I love them. They're so wise. And they sort of help me live my life. They make it safe for me to live my life. And then that's fine. That's perfect. That's perfect. Cause you use them to feel safe and protected until you reclaim the part of you that knows how to feel safe and protected, and suddenly the hook isn't there. And you're like, woo, what happened? How was I in love with that? The same thing happens with the rising sign. We fall in love with the rising sign. We fall in love with the mask people wear. And depending on how quickly that mask falls away or fades away, and that's all in the chart, is before we see what's behind it. It's a little quicker process with the rising sign. A little harder with the projection. Even though we do project on the rising sign, it's still, that projection is easier to falter, because people can't just maintain their rising sign if it's very different than the sun sign. And I know you all know that. You hear me say it all the time. So let me, I'm checking in on you. Saw that thing beeping a little bit. So I wanted to make sure I see how y'all are doing before we sort of sign off, because we're getting close. Audra said, oh my gosh, Mark, I have an ex-husband, an ex-fiance, and a present partner, Libra, Gemini, Aquarius. The search for air continues. See, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. That's how it works. She's all water. Now, you think that the opposite of water, what do you think the opposite naturally of water is? You think it's fire. It's not. Fire, even though fire extinguishes, water extinguishes fire, etc. Fire turns water to steam. The true opposite, the true, I don't get a thing about you, opposite of water is air. It's the emotional and the mental. And you can tell by how we criticize them, right? You criticize air by saying you're too emotional. I mean, air by saying you're cold and callous. The qualities of emotion you criticize air for. You criticize water for being too emotional, not enough intellect. And so those two are truly what's true opposites, not astrological opposites, but truly like you're from Venus, I'm from Mars kind of energy. Okay. Venus goes into Pisces next week. Big time. Now that means it's out of Aquarius. That means this sense of humanitarian optimism isn't going to go away, but it does mean that we're moving into compassion. And I think that's going to be really helpful. Every time the signs change, I like when they change in the beginning. I like that new energy. And by the time they're ready to leave, I'm like, be done, please go away. Remember that Jupiter and Uranus are meeting in April. All you Tauruses, whoo, Lord, y'all have been for a ride, and it is not over. So you hang in there. Those of you with Taurus anything, that applies to you. Jupiter will be aiming into Gemini, so all you Geminis, get excited because this is your up year. We'll check in on you as we go throughout the week and year. Well, throughout this year, we'll check on you guys and see how you're doing. Tomorrow is 1-2 day. I've said that already. I want to emphasize it again. I'm going to send out a postcard, so don't be upset. You got two postcards, one for my show and one for 1-2 day. But share it. Let people know. This is the time to go get a great deal on some of these advisors that are out of this world and literally getting their information from out of this world. I want you to try them. Please, please, please. It starts at midnight tonight. Wherever you are, you'll start noticing the prices at 1-2-Listen, 12listen.com, being different, weird. Well, that's the system kicking in and sort of changing the prices. And I want you to go have a good time. I also want you to have a happy life. The way you make mine happy in this moment is beyond words. And every week it's the same. I leave going, thank God you guys are here. You mean the world to me. I can't wait to see you again. I want good news from you. I want your conquests, your hope, your optimism, and I want you to take it out to the world with me and let's share it a little bit, okay? And make sure that you give most of it to yourself. So without further ado, this is Mark Husson. This has been Mark Husson's Astrology Hour, bidding you adieu. Please stay tuned for Christina LaFrance. Then there's Lori Love. Then there's Jamie Dawn right after that. And more to come. Okay, you guys, beautiful week ahead.